Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly of God podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message. We'd love to hear what God is doing through this ministry. If you have a story to share, send us an email at connect@bedfordfirstag.org. Also, feel free to visit our website at bedfordfirstag.org. You can view the live stream of our services and find out more about our church. Thanks for listening.
I know when we shift things around, it throws everything all wacky, but it'll work out. Father in heaven, thank you that we get to give to you. It's a strange thing because we're giving back to you, because everything we have has come from you. And Lord, we thank you for this privilege this morning. Receive from us and be honored. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you as you give. I will tell you, we have about 14 homes or families that are represented for our yard sale on the 18th of September, so we're going to go ahead and move forward with that. We will have signs, and it'll be in the newspaper and all of that. And, you know, there was one house in our neighborhood yesterday that had a yard sale, and I didn't know that there was a yard sale. I thought that perhaps they had opened a store because there was a steady stream of traffic. I thought, what in the world? Where's everybody going? And they were heading down to this yard sale. So let's see if we can, how many of the town folk that we can bring in this direction and get rid of a few of your treasures as well as have them come onto the property and let us love them a little bit. Amen? How many know that that's part of what we're supposed to do? It's not just about what we do here in this sanctuary, but it is about touching this community for Jesus. Amen? Being a witness. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, you would turn with me to Luke's Gospel, the 8th chapter. I want to give to you what the Lord placed upon my heart for this hour. Someone related this story, said three farmers gathered daily during a horrible drought. The men are down on their knees praying that the skies will open and pour forth rain, but the heavens are silent. However, and the petitioners become discouraged. Nonetheless, they continue to pray every morning. One morning, a stranger asked the men what they're doing. And they said, we're praying for rain. The stranger looks at each of them and shakes his head. I don't think so, he said. The first farmer says, we're down on our knees pleading for rain. Look around, see the drought. We haven't had rain in more than a year. The stranger says their efforts won't work. The second farmer says, what would you do if you were in our shoes? You really want to know, the stranger asks. We really want to know, the farmer says. The future of our farmlands is at stake. And the stranger said, I would have brought an umbrella. Many times we pray prayers, not necessarily expecting that they will be answered. This story in the 8th chapter of Luke's gospel is an important story, I believe, because it grants us some wisdom regarding our needs and finding the answer in the Lord Jesus. We'll pick up the reading at verse number 42, mid-sentence there, not to leave off the other, but it relates to another portion of the scripture. I want to concentrate just on this woman. It says, as Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. In verse 43, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. Who touched me? Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Verse 47, then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Listen to verse 48. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Lord, I know today that you have an agenda. You have a purpose. You have a plan and a desire. I pray, Master, that my words would not get in the way of what you're wanting to do, but that they would reinforce your intention and your desire for this people today. You're important to us, Lord. Your will, your purposes, and your desires are important to us. And may your will be done in Jesus' name. I would point out three things to you this morning, just very briefly. First of all, she came in humility. She did not come standing upright, pronouncing that she was a daughter of Abraham, stating her rights and privileges. She did not come stating the Old Testament verses that stated her right to be healed even before the Lord. She had a tremendous need. My Bible says that for 12 years she had been bleeding. Understanding just a little bit about the times, we find that because she had this issue of blood, she would have been in the same category as the lepers. She would have had to pronounce herself to be unclean. Any chair that she sat on would be unclean. She had to separate herself from family and friends and from everybody. She had a tremendous need. She was beyond the ability of doctors. Some versions even say she spent all that she had. Others just simply say no one could heal her. Both are basically right because there was no answer in the physical realm for her bleeding. So her condition, her dire condition, was one that she was stuck with. She came up behind or below Jesus in the midst of this crowd. This hymn, or how does the New Interventional says, the edge of his cloak. The actual words there are referring to the blue tassel that was added to the garment of the Jewish individuals who were in keeping with the law. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 37 to 41, it gives better explanation of this. I'll not read it, but just allow me to tell you. God told them to weave it in at the bottom of their garments so that they would remember his law and his promises. So she literally came up and touched that portion of his garment. Philip Yancey tells the story of a young man named Mike who works with homeless people. He said that those who have hit rock bottom don't waste time building up an image or trying to conform. And they pray without pretense. When asked for an example, he said, "My friend and I were playing our guitars and singing, 'As the deer panteth for the water,' when David, a homeless man, started weeping." "That's what I want, man," he said. "I want that water. I'm an alcoholic and I want to be healed." There is a place of desperation in the midst of our needs. But we have to know that it is not just desperation that brings our healing. Because there are many desperate people today that are crying out, looking for answers, looking for help, looking for hope in everything except Jesus. Second thing that I would show you today is that she came believing. Verse 44 says she came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. It wasn't just brushing against or getting hold of his garment that made the difference, because as Peter pointed out, there were people all around him who were pushing and shoving and trying to get to him because he was popular, because he did great things. They were pushing in and they were pushing him. And Peter kind of correcting him when Jesus said, "Somebody touched me." He said, "Yeah, there's a lot of people touching you." And I think of our day, there's a lot of people reaching out for Jesus. They want the benefit side. They feel like if they could just come in contact with him, if they can just get close enough, not too close, but close enough to brush up against him, then their need can be met and they can go on with their happy life. Some folks come to church because they just want to, well, they just want to feel that they're in his presence. Don't get too close, just close enough. I like it when you sing those songs, I feel so good. There's a warmth inside of me. I like it when you pray prayers because, you know, I just like the feeling when people are praying around me. I believe this story teaches us that there's something more than just the desperation and something more than just simply coming and being in the presence of Jesus. You see, she expressed her faith. We didn't realize that that's what it was until she gave the explanation a little bit later, but she came in believing. She came in trusting. She came in to touch Jesus because she knew that there was power in Jesus. Think about this for a moment. The inconvenience of crawling in through a crowd. Can you get that picture in your mind? Can your imagination go there? We don't know the number, but they were all crowded around Jesus. And she crawled in. Yes, that speaks of her desperation, but it also speaks of the volume of the belief that she had. Wonder how many times she got stepped on in that process. Perhaps kicked. Because see, everybody wanted to get close to him. He was popular. So just think of this little lady crawling through, hand gets stepped on, foot gets stepped on, gets kicked in the side, keeps on crawling, getting in there, because she knew that if she could take hold of Jesus, just the hem of his garment, just those tassels that he wore to show that he believed and stood by the law of God. Verse 48 says she experienced the result of her faith. You know, folk, every one of us believers, we want to make a multitude of excuses why our prayer does not get answered. But I believe that there is only one biblical answer that stands, and that is we don't really believe. Now, that's not a criticism. That's a fact. Because you see, when When an individual, no matter what their state is, but when they come and take hold and get a hold of Jesus, everything begins to change. Not just being in his presence, not just knowing even his word, praise God for both of those things, but touching Jesus is really all that matters. Believing that he has the power to change our circumstance. We take oil and anoint with oil and pray a prayer of faith. Because James chapter 5 calls upon us to do that. It says, when we are sick in body, call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint with oil, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. So we, in obedience, anoint with oil and pray and believe to our very best. But the Lord will raise them up. I like this. Jeff Newton of Lowell, Indiana. I don't know, maybe Pastor John knows him. I don't know, because he pastored up there a long time ago. Jeff Newton of Lowell, Indiana tells of Jonathan, 4 years old, who was trying to learn the Lord's Prayer. He learned by listening at church each Sunday. One Sunday, as we were praying the Lord's Prayer, he could be heard above all the others praying, Our Father who art in heaven, I know you know my name. Folks, that's where we got to get. Our Father who art in heaven, I know you know my name. This isn't the first time that we've been together. This isn't the first time that we've talked. This isn't the first time that I have depended upon you. Dottie Rambo wrote a song a long time ago, said, It's me again, Lord. I got a prayer that needs an answer. I got a problem that I can't solve. Like she says, I don't mean to bother you. Here I am again, Lord. You see, I believe it's where you come to that point where you realize he is our source. If there is hope to be found, it is found in Jesus. There is nothing in this world that can promise us hope. Money doesn't. People are in the hospitals, private doctors and everything else, and dying today, who are extremely rich. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. If you can get a hold of Jesus with faith believing, your prayers could be answered. Oh, I could take the time this morning and prove this over and over and over again all throughout Scripture, because it is a message that flows deep. When Jesus said to the disciples, he said, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. And then the next verse, he says, and you can ask whatever you will in my name and it shall be done. But don't just take the last verse. You got to take the previous verse. You know, you start as servants of the Lord, and then you come into this relationship of friendship to where you're just with him all the time. My mom was telling me this week, she said, you know, she said, I'm finding myself. She's all by herself a lot now. She said, I'm finding myself. She said, I just talk to him all the time. She couldn't find her car keys. She got into my car, taking her to lunch, and she had put them down into a little purse thing that she had inside her purse. And so she started to panic, and she just stopped. She said, oh, Lord Jesus, where are my keys? Huh? See, it's just about walking with Him. It's about living with Him. We want the benefits. We want, you know, Pastor Cindy, somebody say that magic prayer that's going to fix my circumstance. This one that I love, this need in my life, just pray that magic prayer, would you, so that it will all be okay. We don't have a magic prayer. We can stand with you in faith, believing that Jesus is the answer to your circumstance. He's the one who has the hope. He's the one who has the healing. He's the one who can change a life. You see, this little lady experienced the touch that makes the difference. I love this. Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit knew things that nobody else knew. I mean, He could speak to waves and waves settled down, to storms and storms stopped. He could call the dead back to life. I mean, this is Jesus. It's amazing. Who touched me? Peter said, a lot of people. Jesus said, no. Somebody got a hold of me. That word in the New International Version, I think the King James says virtue. The New International says power there. But you know what that word is? That is the Acts chapter 1, verse 8 word. You shall receive power, dunamis, ability. Change by the power of God. He said, dunamis came out of me. Somebody got a hold of me. The little lady realized that she was going to be discovered. She stood up and says, it was me. I just knew if I could get a hold of you, Jesus, that my circumstance would change. And it did. Her bleeding stopped. Her life was healed. She was no longer an outcast. She was no longer having to proclaim she was unclean to everybody, because she had taken hold of Jesus. And I love what Jesus said. You note His words here, because they are the same in the original language as they are in your Bibles. It's really a good definition. He said, your faith has healed you. Now, He could have said, my power has healed you. And that was true. But what He wanted her to know, and for everybody else who was standing around there, her faith pulled power out of me. You know what that means? That means that if you and I will build a life of faith in the Lord Jesus, that we don't just pray prayers. We can pull power. Dunamis. Ability, change right out of the Son of God. I know that there are needs this morning. I know that because the Holy Spirit laid heavy upon my heart of what we're to do in this house.